Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, Father, King, Lord, I bless you and I praise you, Father, for your word, for your truth, Lord, for your word is our foundation. I thank you, Lord, that we have the true words of the living God. Amen. That can speak life to us, that can speak healing to us, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your word, Father. I pray, Lord, that as the message is being delivered, Father, that you would come and confirm the word and see the hearts of your people, Lord, that I would deliver it, Lord, in a manner that is pleasing to you, Father, that I would be pleasing in your sight, Lord. May you receive all glory and honor, Father. Whatever I've added, Lord, may you strike it. Whatever I've missed, may you supplement it, Father. May you make the hearts of your people, Lord, good ground to receive your word, a changing word. Every word that is preached that you deliver can be a life-changing word, Father. And I pray that your people will receive it, Father, and be intentional, have ears to hear and eyes to see the goodness of our God, the truth of his reality. May the name of Yeshua the Messiah become greater. May the mighty one of Israel become greater. May its water become lesser in Yeshua's name. Amen. God is moving, people. God is moving. He's speaking. But the question is, are his people listening? I'm not talking about just vibrations in the air that makes something audible to hear, but are you in step and in tune with what God is desiring, what God is doing, the motion that God has put history into? Rabbi Mark shared a little bit on that in the Micha Mocha mini message. Are you in step with what God is doing in history? Are you hearing? Are you listening intently to our God? The title of the message is Listening Deeply, the Ramifications of the Deed. Are you listening deeply to our God? Are you in tune with what he has revealed? Do you know him? Do you want to know him? Do you love him? Do you care to love him? This is serious stuff, brothers and sisters. Do you have a relationship with him? Do you know what he requires? Many of us who are married and have spouses or have friends, and maybe we're teenagers and we have friends that we like, and we say, you know, I have a friendship with this person. I have a relationship with my spouse. But you know what? I go away for 3 weeks and don't see her. I have friends, but, you know, I don't call them for 10 months. I have a marriage, but I don't show up for 2 years. I go away for 2 years. Is that a marriage? Is that a relationship? The Lord is desiring intimacy, brothers and sisters. Intimacy. And intimacy to the point where we hear from him, we speak to him, and we commune with him. Do you desire that sort of a relationship with him? From Deuteronomy 9:9, when Moses is fulfilling his commission, remember, the Lord called him from being a shepherd far away from his homeland in the plains of Midian. And the Lord appears to him in a burning bush, and he calls him to deliver his people. And then in Deuteronomy 9:9, Moses is speaking to the children of Israel, recapping their travels, recounting what they went through. And Moses says of what he did, he said, "When I went up to the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant which the Lord had made with you, then I remained on the mountain 40 days and nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water." Moses was willing to spend 40 days with no food and drink, solely in the presence of God. Some of us can't spend 40 minutes in prayer. Do we have a heart's desire to push everything off in order to serve our God? What's the most important thing to you? If you give me an inventory of your life, if I gave you an inventory of my life, if you see where I spend my time, you'll see what's important to me. Amen? Continuing on, Deuteronomy 9:10. The Lord gave me the two tablets. Moses comes down with the two tablets. They were written by the finger of God. The finger of God would have never written those tablets if Moses wasn't willing to go up and spend 40 days up there with him. It was part of what was necessary for God's revelation to happen. Moses needed to be willing to go up onto the mountain. And if it wasn't Moses, it would have been someone else. But God requires, God desires to interact with his creation. But we don't want to be a part of it. We're too busy with the other things of this life and the other things of this world. We think our jobs and our money and all these other things are more important, and they have their place, but they're not the most important thing. Brothers and sisters, we need to be consumed with our God. Amen? 40 days and 40 nights. The Lord spoke from the midst of the fire, continuing in Deuteronomy 9:10. 40 days, 40 nights, and he received the tablets of stone, the tablets of covenant. If you wonder why you're not receiving from God, why you feel like you're not receiving from the Lord, why you feel like the Lord is distant, it's because you're not willing to go up to the mountain. You take the 24 hours of your days, you multiply that times 60 if you're good at math, and you come out with the conclusion. And think about all those minutes that are wasted. You spend more time sleeping, more time daydreaming, more time drinking, more time eating, more time playing, more time watching TV. I believe Netflix and many things, these things can be, have their place. But these things can't supersede God in our life. We can do things that are fun. We can go to baseball games. We can go to movies. We can have fun. We can have outings. We can have play dates. We can get together. But is the Lord the number one thing in your life in the 24 hours of your day? Is the Lord the number one thing? Because if you're not putting in, you're not going to receive from him. You're not going to feel close to him. If you're not close to the fire, you're not going to feel the heat of the Spirit. Amen? And in those moments of deep intimacy with the Lord is where the Lord will reveal your purpose and what he created you for. You're not going to find the Lord when you're channel surfing or web surfing. You're not going to find your purpose when you're watching a baseball game or a football game. You're not going to find your purpose when you're playing Fortnite or Call of Duty or anything online. You're not going to find your purpose when you're idly bowed by, but we must be intentional about being consumed with our God, and there you will find your purpose, and you will find direction from the Lord. If you feel lost, go to the Lord in a place of intimacy, and he will direct you which way to go. I promise you, I guarantee it. And Moses, in these moments of intimacy, he's up there with the Lord. He's receiving the revelation that God would have for his people. He's communing with God. He put the Lord first. No food, no drink, 40 days and 40 nights. And what does the Lord tell him while he's up there? Arise. Get out of here. You need to go down quickly. Why do you need to go down quickly? Because look, the people whom you brought out of Egypt, they've acted corruptly. See, the people made a golden calf. While Moses is up there doing his thing, he's consumed with God for 40 days and 40 nights. He's up there consumed with the Lord, receiving the revelation, receiving what would be the judicial code for Israel. And the people are down there are so distressed and upset, and they had no patience. They didn't trust the Lord, so they made a golden calf. And the Lord sends Moses to go back down because of what the people have done. They've made a molten image for themselves. I have seen this people, and indeed it's a stubborn people. How do you think the Lord felt? How do you think the Lord felt when he's up there receiving, revealing himself to Moses? And why was Moses the only one up there? Because everybody else was too scared to go close to the mountain where God was. They already cut themselves off. They already pushed themselves far. What about you? When the Lord's desire is to spend intimate moments with you and you're idle by doing other things, how do you think it makes the Lord feel? Remember, the Lord was angered with Israel because of the golden calf. And this is what the Lord says to Moses. You got to understand, the way that the Lord spoke to Moses, he's willing to speak to us in the same manner by his Spirit. Don't miss that. Don't miss that point. You might not see a burning bush. You might not hear it the way you think you're going to hear it. But you might. You might hear the voice of God, but we have the Spirit which leads us and guides us into all truth, brothers and sisters. We have access to the one true God. It's not God that moves far from us, but we move far and we move back from him and we pay the price for it. And then the Lord in his just anger because of the sin of the golden calf. How many golden calves have you made? Remember, the golden calf was made out of how the Lord had allowed Israel to plunder the Egyptians. Because when they were leaving Egypt, all the Egyptians gave them the earrings and that they had on them. So too, the Lord allowed Israel to plunder the Egyptians without even lifting up a sword against them. All the Egyptians gave them their jewelry and their gold and their bracelets and their necklaces. And so when they made the golden calf, they took all that stuff that the Lord gave them and they put it into the fire, and then out came this golden calf that they made. Are there gifts that God gave you that you're using to make a golden calf out of? Is the Lord off in the mountain being intimate with some of his people who are willing, and the rest of us are down here off in the wilderness, making a golden calf, rising up, playing in our own harlotry and our own idol worship. And the Lord says in his righteous anger, and I believe the Lord says this today as well. This is his same attitude. Our God does not change. He says, leave me alone that I may destroy them. And I want to blot out their names from under heaven, and I will make out of you a nation mightier and greater than they. So too, the Lord's anger is kindled in the same manner, in the same way. But doesn't that verse sound strange to anyone? The Lord said, leave me alone. I feel like I'm talking to Aiden, my two-year-old. He got a whooping for that once when he told me to leave him alone. Here goes the Lord talking, leave me alone. It doesn't capture it. It doesn't capture what's happening here. There's something deeper in play here, brothers and sisters. Scripture begs us to ask questions about what's happening here. And the context will give you all of the answers. There's another English translation, which is the Ars Scroll translation, which I think captures it more accurately, but still leaves us with a lot of questions. Instead of saying, leave me alone, it says, release me, and I shall destroy them. Last time I checked, the Lord is the creator of the universe. He doesn't need Moses to blot out a people. What's happening here? And this is the command form, brothers and sisters. The Lord isn't asking if he would please stop bothering him. Can you please not text me anymore, Moses? I don't want to hear from you. This is not the way that the Lord is speaking to Moses. The Lord said to Moses, stop talking to me, release me, leave me alone, shut up. I'm going to go destroy the children of Israel. But the Lord, you don't miss this. The Lord is commanding Moses to release him to go destroy the children of Israel. If you don't have your theology right, if you don't understand scriptures, you can come up with some crazy heretical stuff out of this. The Lord doesn't need Moses. The Lord doesn't desire Moses' permission. God is desiring through his words that he's speaking to bring something deeper out of Moses. Moses goes on, and we could skim the verses, but Moses says, no, Lord, may it never be. The Egyptians are going to say that you're wicked. The Egyptians are going to say you weren't able to. Don't do it. Please, Lord, deliver them. Forgive them. I'll go back up on the mountain for 40 more days and 40 more nights, and I'll plead for you to deliver the people. I'll do whatever you need, Lord. Please, Lord, forgive them, Lord. Don't do this. I know you commanded me to leave you alone so you could destroy them, but I'm going to go against your command, and I'm going to ask you to please deliver them. It looks like disobedience on the surface, but God is orchestrating these events in such a manner that Moses gets to go deeper than he's ever been with the Lord. Why? Because it hinges on a promise. It hinges on the promise that God made initially. God's promise wasn't that he was going to make a nation out of Moses. God's promise was that he would deliver the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the 12 sons and the patriarchs into the promised land. So though the Lord is speaking something now, when Moses is experiencing something now, it can't disturb anything that went before. How can Moses do this? How can Moses have this sort of ability to move with God in such a way, in such an intimate way? It's because he spent time with him. He knew the foundational promises that God had laid, that he would deliver his people. Brothers and sisters, do you stand on the promises that God made to deliver, protect, and preserve you? Or are you too busy making a golden calf somewhere out in the wilderness, playing around in your harlotries? Our God is calling us to go to a deeper place. Amen? We need to stand on the promises of God. And what happens is when you get to that place of intimacy with the Lord, when you get to that place where you hear him and you know him and you understand his word and his truth and his reality, you begin to act like him. So that when Moses comes down on the mountain and was the Lord happy about the golden calf? He was so enraged with righteous anger that he was willing to destroy his people. I don't think the Lord was bluffing. I think he was willing to destroy them. Remember, this is happening in the supernatural realm, right? There are things we can't completely understand, but the Lord says he was willing to destroy them. But yet, it couldn't contradict his promises that he initially gave. So he burned with this righteous anger and moved in Moses, who he had a relationship with, to bring atonement for the people. Now, did Moses say, "Thanks, Lord, you forgave them. This is great"? No, Moses went down the mountain with the two tablets and he smashed them on the ground, the tablets that were written with the finger of God. I'm afraid to drop my Bible on the floor. Pick it up, give it a kiss. Moses smashed the tablets that were written by the finger of God. Some people don't want to touch the Torah scroll, written by somebody Lichtenstein over in Germany. This is a holy object. What am I trying to tell you? What are we trying to say here? What does the Lord desire that we would get here? Is that when you are intimate with the Lord, you begin to take on his qualities and his attributes and his personality and his characteristics. And also allows you to move in a place of greater authority. You wonder why your life is in shambles. You wonder why the devil is running all over, why your house is a playground for the enemy. It's because you don't have intimacy with the Lord. This is why you don't have authority. Moses had the authority to smash the tablets because of his 40 days and 40 nights he spent in the mountain with God. Do you have these 40 days and 40 nights where you spend with the Lord? Do you have these intimate moments? Then you wonder why the devil runs all over your house, why the devil destroys things, why you can't get your life together, why your depression's not beat, why your body is still broken. Now look, all sickness is not directly correlated to the sin we commit in this life. Sometimes this is our lot, but believe me, brothers and sisters, we make it much worse if we are not surrendered to our God. Says he smashed them. He smashed them. It goes on to say that he fell down the same way for 40 days and 40 nights after the people had received forgiveness. Action is what the Lord is looking for, brothers and sisters. He prayed to the Lord, he says. Deuteronomy 9:26. O Lord God, do not destroy your people, even your inheritance, whom you redeemed through your greatness, whom you brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not look at the stubbornness of this people or at the wickedness of their sin. God is desiring moments of intimacy so we can walk in our calling that God has for us. But we're too busy. We're idle. We got too much stuff going on. You don't get it. I work 40 hours a week. I drive an hour to work. I do too much. I got a wife. She won't stop talking. How can I read the Bible? Actually, I'm the talker in our relationship. Amy's told me to stop talking before. She goes, "Talking Eduardo won't stop talking." God desires that we would have intimacy with him, brothers and sisters. So we can walk in our purpose and walk in our calling and be the true priest that God has called us to do. Because for Moses, his intimacy, because of his listening deeply to the Lord, it brought action in his life. That's the second part of the message, the ramifications of the deep. Brothers and sisters, everything you do matters. Every minute that you spend matters. You're not going to lose your justification and forgiveness of sin in 30 seconds because you watched a TV show or because maybe you didn't read your Bible at all in one day. What you truly miss is fulfilling God's purpose for your life. Do you want to just make it by? Do you just want to be the shoe shiner in heaven? You want to be the person that holds the gate open, or do you want to be one of the great ones because you were a great servant? I don't want to be great for the sake of being great. I want to be a servant. Yeshua was great because he was the greatest servant. I want to be the greatest servant in the kingdom because I live my life in submission to the Lord, and that comes out of intimacy. Comes out of a place of knowing him where you could be changed. We don't want to just get in. We want to expand the kingdom of God, and we want to be able to see souls come in because of our obedience to the Lord, and it brings glory to the name of Yeshua. Amen. This is the point. This is the key. Are you listening deeply? Because if you're not listening deeply, you're going to make some deeds, and you're going to do some actions, and you're going to do some stuff that's going to have bad ramifications for you. But if you're listening deeply, the actions that you make, the things that you decide to do will bring glory to the Lord. You will be fulfilling your purpose, and you will see God's hand all over your life. Which do you want? It's one or the other. You can't opt out. You can't say I'm neutral. You can't say I don't want to play this round. You can't say I got next. We're all in this game of the redemption of humanity. We're all in the game of the world going, the clock is going, the clock is ticking down. It's serious. You know, I saw on Facebook, you guys remember Haz Akim, right? So, you know, I was on their album, scratching it up with the turntables, and they put a post up. They said, how many of your pastors or rabbis talk about hell or the book of Revelation? What's up? I said, 43-part series, and I put it right in there, Rabbi Mark Shulman. I said, and we often preach about hell because it is a reality. We're not playing games here. We're not playing dress up. It's not Halloween. It's not Hanukkah. I mean, Purim. It's not Hanukkah either. These aren't times just to be like, you know, it's all fun and games. Let's play dress up. This is serious business, brothers and sisters, about the kingdom. And there are lives at stake, and even more so, there are souls at stake. We need to be about God's business. Because everything that you do, every action that you have has ramifications, and it means something. Doesn't matter how innocent you thought it was. Doesn't matter how innocent you thought you were being. It doesn't matter what you thought they might have thought. Your ramifications have deeds. Your deeds have ramifications the other way around. I said that pretty confident too, right? Your deeds have ramifications. Understand this. And the decisions that we make based upon what deeds we do have to come from listening to the Lord. How do we listen to the Lord in this period, brothers and sisters? It is by his word, amen? We're not really going up to the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. You can if you want to. I'm a city boy. I'd rather not. I'll go for 40 days and 40 nights in the subway praying to the Lord in New York City. It's probably scarier than the mountain. Make decisions based upon the intimacy that you have with the Lord. Let me give you an example of someone who made decisions that wasn't based on God's word and he had immediate ramifications. From Acts 12:21, on an appointed day, Herod, having put on his royal apparel, took a seat on the rostrum and began delivering an address to them. He was probably really feeling himself when he was giving this. He put on his clothes. He's about to say something. And then the people kept saying, the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God the glory. And he was eaten by worms and died. Acts chapter 12. He didn't even say he was a God. The people were saying that he was a God, and he didn't rebuke the people and give God his proper glory, so God struck him dead right there in the moment. I don't know how to respond to that. So I think it's a bad thing for Herod, right? I think it's, you know, it's a bad thing. The Lord's going to get his glory no matter what. Whether you're on his side or not. He's going to get glory because you honor him and worship him. He's going to redeem you. Or he's going to get glory from destroying you because you don't bow to him. His name will be great among the nations and the whole entire world, whether you're on his team or not. My encouragement is to be part of God's team, to be part of his roster. Amen. Moses was able to contradict the seeming command of God because of his intimacy with him. Are you that confident? If you heard a voice from heaven tell you something and you know from God's word that you got to do the opposite, do you have that much of a knowledge of God's word and confidence and intimacy with God that if you heard a voice from heaven tell you one thing, you would do the opposite because you know what God's word says? How many people do wicked things and terrible things because they feel like the Spirit of God is telling them? How many people do wicked and terrible things because they believe a voice from heaven told them to do something? If we were grounded and rooted in God's word the way Moses was, and if we have an intimacy with the Lord the way Moses did, we wouldn't be making these stupid and silly and foolish decisions, brothers and sisters. We'd be living rightly, giving glory to God. Amen? I remember being a little boy, and I would tell, you know, not a little boy, but maybe 15, 16, and I told my mom, you know, I'm going to go to Manhattan. I'm going to hop on the train. I'm going to see this girl who lives in Williamsburg. And we're going to hang out for a little bit. I'm going to be back at 3 in the morning. She goes, look, Eduardo, look at him going on the train. Bye, Eduardo. Have fun on the train. I see you later, right? Go ahead. Have a good time. You think I went? No, she told me I could go. She looked pretty happy. But I know my mom. I wasn't going to be out in Williamsburg till 3 a.m., right? Look at Eduardo. Go ahead. See you later. because I knew my mother. I had a relationship with my mother. Do you have a relationship with the Lord in such a manner that you know His will, even though you might be hearing something that's a little different? Amen? This is important. And then we have another situation with Peter. Peter's there at the certain hour, and he falls into a trance. And then the sheet comes down with all types of unclean animals in it. And a voice from heaven declares, "Peter, get up, kill, eat." And then Peter says, "No, Kurios, no, Lord, no, Adonai. My mouth has never touched anything that's unclean. There's no way that I can eat anything that's in that sheet. Even though I'm hungry, even though my body wants it, I'm not going to eat that stuff that's in that sheet." Three times it happens. Then ultimately, Peter's confused about this vision. Then he bumps into Cornelius, and we get the result of the vision. Even though the voice from God, even though heaven, this voice from Shemayim, this voice, this bakol from heaven told him to get up and kill and eat, he knew from God's word that it was against the Torah for him to eat these unclean animals. And because he knew from the Torah that these animals were unclean, he knew from the Torah that Gentiles aren't unclean just because they're Gentiles. All of his knowledge base and his understanding had ramifications for the decisions that he would make. If he didn't know the Torah, if he didn't know God's word, if he didn't have a relationship with the Lord, what would he have done? Had him some alligator, some elephant, cockroaches. Can you eat cockroaches? Are they kosher? Are they part of an animal? Do they have joints? Imagine all these unclean animals that he would be consuming because he didn't have a knowledge base with the Lord. He didn't have a relationship with Yeshua. If he didn't have that relationship, if he didn't have that building up of who he was called to be in the kingdom of God, to be this pillar, then he would have made other decisions. Because Peter is dealing with something at this point that we have to understand. The superstition and the tradition and the teaching within his time period was that Gentiles were unclean because they're Gentiles. But in the Torah, Gentiles are unclean because they're idol worshipers. And Jews are unclean because they're idol worshipers. They both get cut off for the same thing. But in Peter's time, it had developed that Gentiles are naturally unclean just because they're Gentiles. This is why, Peter, you can't go eat with them. The Lord had to give Peter a lesson and take him back to the Torah to show him that Gentiles are not unclean just because they're Gentiles. They're unclean because they're idol worshipers. And look, though they were this, I've cleansed them, the Lord says. Don't call anything unclean that I have cleansed. Same goes for Israel and the same goes for the nations. Amen? This is the point of the vision. This is the point of the truth. Don't miss it. And what were the ramifications of Peter's deed? Based upon listening deeply to the Lord. He was able to give the good news of Yeshua to Cornelius. The Holy Spirit fell and they spoke in tongues just the way it happened in Acts chapter 2. He changed the trajectory of a whole family, a whole generation, thousands of generations forward. His obedience to the Lord based upon intimacy and knowledge of God's word allowed him to be immortalized in the pages of the New Covenant. That we read it today and we're encouraged by God's truth and God's reality because of Peter's obedience. Your obedience is no less important to the Lord. But it has to be rooted in the understanding of God's word and intimacy. A knowledge of his word and intimacy. A reading of God's word and intimacy of prayer, praise, worship, and adoration of the King. Because this is when your spirit gets fed. This is when we get built up. Yeshua says that the Holy Spirit, when I send him, he'll be the comforter. He'll convict the world of sin. He'll remind you of my teachings. He'll convict the world of wrongdoing. He'll lead you in the righteous path. But you don't spend time praying in the Spirit. You don't spend time in the Spirit. You don't spend time with the Lord. How do you get convicted of sin? The Lord can talk as loud as he wants. We can turn a deaf ear to him. This is why the Lord calls us to have ears that are willing to hear and eyes that are willing to see. Amen? If Peter had gone with the superstition of his day, Cornelius may never have received the Spirit. I don't know. It's hard to tell. We don't have that. But it's important that Peter did. Amen? And it's no different for your life. It's no different for my life. If I don't have intimacy with the Lord, if I don't spend time with him, if I'm not seeking him, then I'm not going to know what he wants me to do. When I'm presented with a situation that pops up in the last second, whether it's at work or I'm at home, and I get this crazy situation that is not really talked about in Scripture, really, and it's something random that I don't know if I should do it or not do it, I have the Holy Spirit inside of me that could lead me and guide me. Why? Because I know His voice. Imagine you marry someone. You never met him before. You go to some country. They arrange a marriage for you with someone. You've been married for 30 seconds. And she goes in the other room, and then she calls you. Are you going to know her voice? But who's this? That's your wife. No, it's not. You sound different when I met you before. I know, I got a cold, whatever, but I'll feel better. It's all right, right? You don't know her voice. So now what if someone else called them and said, hey, I'm your wife. You sure? What was I wearing? Right? You got to test her. Why? Because you don't know her voice. You're too busy trying to figure out if you got the right person on the line. And that's the reality with the Spirit of God. There are many spirits out here. And we don't always know who we got on the line. Is that you, Lord? I don't know. You said divorce my wife? I think it's you. No. He said not. No. The Lord is not pleased with divorce, right? The Lord said, I can eat shrimp. No, the Lord didn't say you could eat shrimp, right? These are things that are important. And how do I know? How do I know? Because I know His word. So that's black and white. But what about jobs to go to, jobs to take, things to do with your time, things to study, things to learn, books to read? Who to pray for? The Bible doesn't tell you who to pray for. If you pray for every person you ever met, every person you ever know, you won't stop praying. The Holy Spirit leads us who to pray for and what situation to pray for and how to pray about it. If you don't know the voice of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, you are wasting your time because you are not praying in accord with God's will. You are not moving in accord with God's will. You can put your hand to the ground to do whatever ministry, whatever thing you think is worthy. If God is not leading and directing it, it is in vain. Period. Point blank. And this is why all the things that we do matter, but they only truly matter and bring fruit if we're doing it in accord with what God is revealing. And there's some things that are gray. There's not things that are black. I know, don't murder, don't steal, don't kill. I get those things. But what about this job or that job? Work 3 days, work 5 days, work 4 days. Buy this car, buy that car, do this thing, move to this place, live here. You could check that up in your Bible software all you want. It's not going to tell you where to live, except don't live in a whorehouse. Don't live in a drug house, right? So we need the Spirit of God to help us with these gray areas of our life, but the problem is you don't know His voice. So you don't know who's talking to you. Peter knew the voice of God, and even though the voice said something to him, and he calls it kurios, he says this is the Lord, he says it's Adon, he understands it's God's name, he says, I hear you, but your word says something totally different. That means you want something different out of me. That means you're trying to show me something. You're not a God of confusion. That means you have a greater purpose here to show me something. God tells Moses, release me so I could destroy your cousins. Moses says, can't do that. I know you're commanding me. I know you're God, but I'm going to intercede for them anyway because of your promises. I'm afraid we're not equipped to do that. We're not equipped to just, based upon the voices and the things that we hear, to say, you know what? I hear it. I know it's something supernatural. I know it's you, Lord, but you want something deeper out of me. And this is something we should strive for. We should strive to be like Moses, strive to be like Peter, because if we don't have that knowledge base, we're going to make a mess out of everything. If you live longer than 17, 20 years, 25 years, you realize that you make dumb decisions. We make dumb decisions. And without the Spirit of God and without His word, we're going to keep making dumb decisions. Go up on that mountain, 40 days, 40 nights. Do it. You will see your life totally changed. I'm not saying fast for 40 days and 40 nights. I'm saying as the Lord leads you to go into a deeper, more intimate place with Him, be obedient. 10 minutes, 20 minutes before you go to sleep. All these moments that we waste with the things of the world, may we be consumed with our God. Amen. A knowledge base of God's word will save you many, many heartaches. It will save you much pain and much grief, much hurt, many, many mistakes. From this portion that we read this week, Zechariah 11, it says, there is a sound of the shepherds, they wail, for their glory is ruined. Zechariah 11:3. The shepherds are the kings of the nations, and this passage takes us into something that's very prophetic. These wicked shepherds and this wicked shepherd who's being personified through Zechariah. He goes up to the kings and the people who are going to pay him because of the job that he did. And he goes up to them and he says, look, I did what you asked me to do. If you think I fulfilled what I was supposed to do, you do what you got to do. Pay me my 30 shekels of silver. Context or wicked shepherds. This is a wicked shepherd. This is a person that's working in the field, and he's a wicked person. He didn't do his job right, but he still wants to get paid for the wickedness that he does. 30 shekels should be setting off Bible sirens in your head. It's like a spidey senses. Da-da-ding, right? Right? I don't know what spidey senses sound like, but it sounds like a bell to me in my head. Ding-ding. It should be setting something off. From Matthew 26, then one of the 12 named Judas went to the chief priest and said, what are you willing to give me to betray him to you? And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to him. This is what Zechariah prophesied. Going down into the future that a false shepherd would rise up and he would be bought for 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah 11:17 says, woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. A sword will be on his arm and on his right eye. His arm will totally wither and his right eye will be blind. Zechariah 11:17. This is a prophecy of Judas Iscariot, that he will be a false shepherd, that he will be a false one within the midst, that he is weak, and that his judgment will be his death. And that the price that will be paid for it is 30 shekels of silver. Judas had a decision to make. He was presented with all the teachings of Yeshua the Messiah. He was presented with life. He was in communion with the author of life. He stood before him and saw the miracles. He was receiving the knowledge base. He would have been trained like all the other Jews of his day in the Torah and in the prophets. He would have gone to synagogue and known God's word and sat in the seats just like you all are sitting in these seats. Maybe he even gave a little sermon. Maybe he was a youth teacher. I don't know. Whatever. We all have roles. We all have things that we do. In his synagogue, he probably did stuff. He walked around with Yeshua. You know, it also says that he was in charge of the money. He was a treasurer. So he was in ministry too, Judas. So he knew the word. He was in ministry. He was serving. He walked with Yeshua. Celebrated Passover, Seder with him, traveled with him. Yet inside of his mind, when they offered him 30 pieces of silver, nothing went off in his head. Nothing triggered in his brain that he was actually taking this 30 pieces of silver, which is the price that worthless shepherds get paid. Wicked shepherds get paid 30 pieces of silver. And Judas didn't know that he was taking this money in a way that was identifying him as the wicked shepherd, that he is the one that was prophesied in Zechariah 11 that will betray Yeshua the Messiah. He's in there. He's sitting in the seats. He's going to the services. He's celebrating Holy Day. He's participating in Yom Kippur. He's wearing tzitzit. He's walking with Yeshua. He's brought up like everybody else, reading the Torah and the prophets. Yet something was disconnected for him. Even though he had all the other things that on paper made him look okay, the private life was, he had no intimacy with the God of Israel. Matthew 27, I want to read this really quick. Now when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Yeshua to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away. They delivered him to Pilate. Let's keep going. Then when Judas, who betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, Yeshua had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests. See, here's the problem. When it's too late, it's too late. When Yeshua cracks the sky, do you know how many people are going to feel remorse? Do you know how many people are going to be upset? I shouldn't have done that. I wish I never did that. I wish I never did this. But the problem is people love their sin. They like their sin. They love their sin more than being changed. This is why in this moment, if they can get away with it, they're going to get away with it. But when that sky cracks and the time has gone, the bell has rung and Yeshua cracks the sky, everybody's going to be saying, oh, I wish I never did that. I wish I never did this. I wish I didn't live like that. It's too late. At this point for Judas, it was too late. He felt remorse. He tried to return. He says, I've sinned. He's innocent. But they said, what's that got to do with us, bro? We paid you. Then going on to the end, He fell headlong in a field, and he died. And Scripture tells us that which was spoken through the prophet was fulfilled. They took 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one whose price has been set by the sons of Israel, and they gave him for the potter's field as the Lord directs him. This is a direct quotation. The death of the one who would be bought for 30 pieces of silver is a false shepherd. As we sit in our seats and as we live and as we enact in things, maybe we're not false shepherds. Maybe we're not false followers and false believers. But the bottom line is this: there is a deeper place with the Lord. Enough in the kiddie pool. Enough hanging out by the 2 feet water. Let's go deep with the Lord. Where the water's going to pour over your head and you're going to be challenged and you're going to be changed and it will have ramifications, brothers and sisters, and we'll get to know him and there's joy in his presence and there's healing. There's healing. Scripture talks a lot about this ointment that can be poured on his people for healing. There's an ointment of healing that God desires to give his people, but we don't get that without knowing him. We don't get that without spending time with him. You gotta fight your fears of heights and go up to that mountain, brothers and sisters. This is serious stuff. And it'll cost you everything, but you'll receive everything in return. And what's interesting about Judas didn't know the word. As much as he was exposed to it, he's probably like some of the kids in Shabbat school that I have that doodle clocks and different stuff on their paper while I'm trying to teach them the depths of God's reality. He was probably doodling in his little paper. He was probably scratching in the desk. He was probably on his phone checking Facebook. Exodus 21, and Judas should have known this, but he doesn't know this, right? He should have known this. If the ox gores a male or a female slave, the owner shall give his or her master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. 30 shekels of silver is the price of a slave. Here goes the amazing part. When Judas was betraying Yeshua, he thought he was receiving a payment for betraying Yeshua into the hands. But what really happened was Yeshua is the author of life. You can't chain him. Yeshua said, if I wanted, I could send thousands of angels to set me free right now. A legion would come from my father, and he would deliver me from this place. I'm choosing to go here. Judas received the 30 pieces of silver to enslave himself. He himself received the price of a slave because he became a slave. He put on chains because he refused to obey the words of the Lord. He refused to have intimacy. He refused to soak into the words of Yeshua as Yeshua taught him. This is why Judas became a slave. He sold himself into slavery. Because he wanted to have a full belly, because he wanted to be satisfied, because he wanted a few shekels. We get Yeshua or the world, brothers and sisters. You don't get both. And as we're here on this Shabbat morning, I think we all need to understand, do we choose Yeshua or do we choose the world? Do we choose Yeshua or do we choose the world? Because you know what? We can think we're close to Yeshua, but make these decisions that are contrary to his way. The reality is you don't know him. Amy likes me to do the kitty litter pretty consistently. Once a day. Most of the time I get it. Sometimes I don't. I'm human. But what if Amy told me she wants me to do the kitty litter every day and I don't do it for 2 years? Do I love her? Do I care about her words? Do I care about what she says to me? Absolutely not, right? And it seems like a trivial thing, right? Kitty litter, who cares, right? It's just cat poop, right? Which can get really nasty after a while, right, if you don't do it. But the bottom line is this, that my actions need to reflect what I truly believe, which is my love for my wife. If your actions don't reflect what you claim, which is this love for Yeshua, then you're going to make bad decisions all over the place, brothers and sisters. We need an intimacy. We need a knowledge base. We can't be seeking just to fill our bellies. And I'll leave you with this last verse because I think this verse is important. And I'm almost sure this is the one we chanted, or maybe it's the next chapter. Actually, it's the next chapter. But I want to read this to you because this warning, this isn't a Sinai covenant warning. This is a warning for God's truth for all time. Deuteronomy 8-11. And this is important. We need to take this home because it is a warning for us. One of the most amazing things I really like about reading Deuteronomy and Exodus is that as the Lord's talking to Moses and then Moses starts talking to the people, it doesn't always sound like Moses is speaking to the people that's right in front of him. It sounds like he's talking to the generations of the exile, and sometimes it sounds like he's talking to even later generations in the final age. It's really interesting when you read it. Because he says, and when you've been in the land many years, you, what are you talking about? We're not even going to make it out the desert. What are you talking about, you? Our children, right? That Moses speaks, that the Lord speaks through Moses to future generations. I believe this word is for us as well. Deuteronomy 8:11, for this portion, for this week, because God is in control of all things. Nothing's arbitrary. It says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Otherwise, when you've eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. If you profess any time in Yeshua, you've received a deposit of the redemption from the Egypt that you were enslaved to. Yeah, and Yeshua paid more than 30 pieces of silver for your slavish self. And for my slavish self as well. Yeshua gave his precious blood, which is imperishable and has no limit to its value. So how much more so? How much more so should we take this warning to heart? Because if we forget the Lord, what happened to Israel when they forgot the Lord? They were exiled from God's presence. And ultimately, he brings them back because he has a purpose. Brothers and sisters, hell, the place where God is not, is the exile that does not end. Understand that. There is no returning from the exile of the separation from God's presence. As we live and we exist nowadays and we experience the sun and the nice weather, Rabbi Mark's enjoying the 50-degree weather. I don't understand it. But people enjoy the weather and they're having a great time. You could be the most wicked sinner and still enjoy 75-degree weather. You could be the most wicked sinner and still feel the drops fall on your head from heaven and receive refreshment. Because we still live in the presence of God. God still exists. But the day will come where the Lord will remove those who have not chosen Yeshua from his presence. And that is the true exile. What the Torah prophesies, what the Torah lays out, this is the exile principle. The eternal, eternal exile that there is no redemption from. Remember, because the exile that the Torah talks about is a separation from God's presence in Jerusalem and in Israel and from the temple. The exile that those who are not the Lord's will face is an eternal exile away from the presence of God. And that will happen if we're not rooted in his word. This last passage is, what's interesting about it is that the reason why the people forget the Lord is because they feel so satisfied. A full belly can absolutely deceive you, brothers and sisters. That's why it says, you know, it's the meek and the poor who are of the kingdom of God, right? Because they have nothing else to rely on. They have to trust on him. It's when people have money and they got a little bit of cheddar, a little bit of bread, they got some nice shoes, they got a nice car. That's when they begin to forget the Lord. Don't let your full belly, don't let your stuff forsake the Lord. Don't let the stuff that you have distract you from God's true purpose, which is to be his servant and consider everything a loss for him. Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, Father, King, Lord, I bless you and I praise you, Lord. May our hearts be deeply inclined towards you, Father. May you awaken us to your reality, Lord, to listen to you deeply, Lord, to produce actions that are keeping with your spirit, Lord. And may we fulfill the purpose that you have us for us, Lord, as Moses, as Peter did, oh Lord. And may we not go the way of Judas, Father. May we not go the way of Herod, Lord. May we stand rightly on your truth, Lord. May you move mightily in our families and our loved ones, Lord, and bring healing from the head to the toe, the true healing that you care about, Lord, the spiritual healing. And then may we see it in the bodies as well, Lord, that we can be workers for your kingdom. Selflessly. In the name of the mighty one of Israel, Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Amen. Good job. Praise you, Lord.